Welcome to Greek Club at Concordia Seminary. Thanks to Dr. Oswald, who did Greek Club last week. But unfortunately, there was a confusion, and it wasn't recorded. So it just exists in a platonic ideal form, and it never got to be embodied. Of course, that implies that being available on the internet is embodied, and that brings up all sorts of philosophical questions. Which is actually just a way of introducing verse 9. We're in Galatians chapter 5 and reading, beginning at verse 9. And actually have some nice opportunity to do a little morphology review in these few verses. And so we'll just pick up at Galatians 5, verse 9. And it's kind of in the middle of a paragraph where Paul is warning the Galatians about the false teachers in their midst. So verse 9, Mekra zume halan ta firama zimoi. You might remember the noun zume, which means yeast or leaven, and often, although not always, a negative image in the scriptures. So, easy enough, a little leaven, then the verb is zimoi from zumao, which means, not surprisingly, to leaven. And the Omicron contract verbs are less common. So, you know, your average Greek stud, like all of you in the room here, epsilon contract forms, pretty familiar. Alpha contract, a little less familiar. Omicron contracts are the ones that occur the least of those three categories. So this is just a present indicative active third person singular of all things, although on a bad day it might look like an optative or something. So a little leaven leavens, halan ta firma, the whole thing which is mixed. Actually, I looked this up, I was curious. There is a Greek verb phyrao, which means to mix, and then can also then mean to knead, as in kneading flour. And here we have a noun, a neuter noun in ma, ending in mu alpha. So it's that which is mixed, or that which is kneaded, that is often just translated lump. But that's how you get to lump from phyrao, to mix or to knead. So, in fact, we have two nouns in ma, and as they often do in Greek, they indicate the result of an action. So here, that which is mixed, that is the lump of dough. And if you've ever made bread and you do it right, you know that this, in fact, is true. Right? You just put a little yeast in and it kind of leavens the whole thing. So pretty straightforward, nice happy clause, subject, predicate, or direct object, and verb. Any questions about that? Hey, Tom. All right, very good. Verse 10. Paul says, Ego pepoitha eis humas en kireo hati uden ala phronesita. Emphatic pronoun, but I. And now, this is, I wanted to refresh myself on this. Pepoitha. Can anybody remember what verb this is from in the dictionary form?
Pasco.
It's not from Pasco, actually. It looks kind of like it. That would be pepontha. So it's a strong verb. This is a strong perfect. It's from patho, or as Dr. Vellis would pronounce it, pytho, which means to persuade. Okay. Now, oddly enough, the second perfect, you have to look this up in the lexicon. The second, there are two perfects. There's a predictable one, and then there's this strong one. This one means to be confident or to believe, which is a little bit of a stretch from patho, I persuade. But and again, the weak perfect doesn't have that meaning. But here somehow the strong perfect, second perfect, comes to mean I have been persuaded, I am confident, almost as if it had a passive meaning. So it's one of those strange things that you just have to look up when you forget it. And it has a present meaning, as some perfects do. Like, for instance, there's one fairly common perfect form that has a present stem meaning that we see often in the New Testament. Anybody? Oida, one of the verbs to know. Right. So this is pepoitha, I, emphatic, I am confident. Right. Unto you, perhaps something here no more than about you, in the Lord, I am confident, in the Lord, And here's what Paul is confident of, that nothing other, Allah is from Allahs, and it's just modifying uden, no thing. And then the verb of the Hutti clause is phronesita, from phroneo, future, indicative, active, second plural. Phroneo means to think, to set your mind on, something like that. And so you actually get some, again, in these verses, some nice, well, nice in the sense of hard morphology review. Phroneo is epsilon contract, lengthen the stem epsilon to eta, add the sigma, you get the future stem. So I am confident toward you or about you in the Lord that you will think nothing other. So, good. Questions about verse 10. The syntax is not difficult, just some interesting lexical changes, especially with pepoitha.
Is the expression in the Lord in Perio, is that a common expression?
I'd have to look it up, Tom. It's a good question. I mean, it's often in him or in Christ. As you can see, there's an omission marker on the... So Vaticanus omits the phrase. You might expect in auto, in him, or en Christo, or something like that. But I'd have to look it up. Excellent. Good. And I see that I actually stopped in the middle of verse. So we'll just... keep going. Second half of verse 10, and then we'll get verse 11 as well. Hade tarason humas bastase ta krima hustis eon e. Well, I guess we can stop there. So the participle from tarasso means to trouble, right? Present participle, active. And now another future from bastadzo with a zeta, and in the future it becomes bastaso, bastases, bastase. Right, so future indicative active means to bear or carry. Right, so the troubling you guy will bear ta krima. And here's another noun in ma, and again it indicates the result of an action. The action is the action of krinoing. God is going to krino this person, and what he'll bear is the judgment. Right, so quite an awesome responsibility, obviously, to be a teacher in the church. And so when you, on the day that, God willing, you're ordained, your dominant, well, you should probably, you can have any feelings you want, I suppose, but if there's not a little fear mixed in, then there's probably something wrong, right? But, so the one who troubles you, or is troubling you, will carry, will bear the judgment. Hustis is probably just here acting like a relative pronoun. Who, on, is standing in place of on. You get this sometime in the New Testament. Paul isn't saying if here, it's just acting in the same way that on would. And then A, of course, is our favorite letter in Greek, the letter eta, which, depending on the other junk that you put on it, can be, I think, 9 different words. Anybody would tell me what this is? The on gives you a clue. What part of speech is it, first of all?
Subjunctive.
Yeah, it's actually a verb. It's a subjunctive, present subjunctive,
amen.
Active from ame, third person singular. Right. Now, if you changed either the breeding mark or the accent or the Yoda subscript, you'd have a different word. Right. Which makes you wonder how they could figure it out in continuous script when there wasn't any accents. And the answer is the ancient people were a lot smarter than we are. Any more questions? Right. It's like all those people in Rome, they were so smart they could speak Latin, right? So, a long time ago. So, the one troubling you will bear the judgment, whoever he may be, or whoever he is. So, a conditional sentence with the prothesis, or the if clause, the equivalent of the if clause following after, whereas normally in Greek it might precede. So, questions? All right, good. Again, nice short sentences. It makes English speakers happy when Paul writes like this. Verse 11. Ego de adelphoi, e peri tamen eti ke riso, te eti diokamai, ara kat ergetai taskandalon tu stauru. Emphatic pronoun again, because unnecessary. But I, brothers, if circumcision still I am preaching, te is the interrogative pronoun, and in the accusative here, it often means why, and that's the sense here. Why still am I being diokoed? Dioko means to chase or pursue, and it can have either a positive or a negative meaning, and here it probably means persecute, right? Why am I being persecuted? Interesting, to preach circumcision then probably means something like, given the context of Galatians, to proclaim that obedience to the law of Moses is somehow necessary for salvation or for justification or something like that. And then we get a then clause with ara, then. So you have to sort of in your mind say, well, if I was preaching circumcision, then. Now, kat ergetai is from kat argeo. And it's actually a perfect passive form. You can, again, it's morphology alert, right? So kat argeo, you can see the temporal augment, or excuse me, not the temporal augment, but the duplication is actually the lengthening of the alpha to eta. The epsilon in the stem lengthens to eta, and so there is no connecting vowel. And that is one of the, if you can spot it, that's one of the characteristic signs of the fifth principal part. There's no connecting vowel. So this is actually a perfect indicative, middle or passive, and often taken, always taken passive here, third person singular. At least, you know, if you're sucking air on the morphology, you can see the tie. You can say, well, whatever the heck it is, it's third person singular, right? Middle passive. So, and it means to set aside or to nullify or something like that. So, if I were doing this, then the snare of the cross, which kind of sounds like 1 Corinthians, the stumbling block of the cross has been and is nullified. And again, the sense here in Galatians, where Paul takes no prisoners, is you may not add anything to Christ and Him crucified and risen as the sole means by which believers are justified in the presence of God and maintained in that status with God. So this, Galatians, this is why we have the solas, right? I mean, Galatians and Romans, right? So it actually is faith alone, grace alone, Christ alone. Right? So, good. Questions? Any sort? All right. Verse 12. Now this is interesting and a little unusual. Verse 12. Aphalon kai apo kapsantai hoi anastatuntes humas. This is kind of an idiom, and it has to do with making a wish. Aphalon is actually from aphalo, which means I owe, I ought. Okay? And it is, you can see that the stem has been shortened to just an epsilon, so this is actually, believe it or not, an aorist participle active. Dave is repenting here. Yeah. Well, I had to look it up just to remind myself. I thought I knew what it was, and I looked it up, you know. So it's from aphalo, and then the third principal part is ophelon. Okay? And so you take the augment, and it goes back to omicron, and the shorter stem, it has just the epsilon vowel in the middle. So this is an aorist participle active, neuter singular nominative, okay, and it's actually an idiom, and it expresses a wish. And the only reason you'd know this is because you taught Galatians 8 times in a row one time, and this got lodged in your head, which is exactly what happened to me, right? And so it's kind of like a particle. Oh, that, okay. And normally with a past time indicative, but here with a future. Indicative, apokapsantai. Now there is actually a form that looks a little bit normal. It's from apokapto, which means to cut off, right? And you can see the sigma in the double consonant, and so this is a future indicative middle. So to cut off for oneself, or something like that. And the subject is hoi anastatuntes, which is from anastatao, Omicron contract, right? And it means to trouble or disturb or something. So, oh, that those disturbing you would cut off for themselves. And from time immemorial, yes, David, good eyebrows, is taken as a reference to self-mutilation. And in the context of the law of Moses and circumcision, that's the way it's often read, right? So would that those who are troubling you mutilate themselves. That's kind of the way it's taken.
What's the nuance of the kai there?
Even, perhaps, or
so,
also.
So it's kind of, that's a drastic, he's acknowledging that it's a drastic statement. They would even,
yeah.
Is that the sense?
Yeah, yeah, or that they wouldn't just stop it. They would not only circumcise themselves, but also they would do this. Right. And of course, we all shudder. We're guys. We shudder. And we think in terms of purely physical loss, if I can say it that way. Probably the dominant meaning here would be one of ritual uncleanness. See, if you're mutilated, you can't go into the temple. Right? You're unclean. And, of course, this is all the same as about people who are making something, at least, of the law of Moses and sort of keeping the law of Moses in order to, what, enhance or perhaps maintain your status with God. So it's not just kind of a joke the way we might hear it, you know, but it actually probably has a theological edge to it. And yes, I'll just go ahead and say this because you're all wanting me to anyway. This is a pretty strong cutting remark on the part of the Apostle Paul. Okay, now we got that out of the way, and that's now we're all good. Right?
That was incisive.
Thank you.
It was incisive, yeah, yeah, thank you. That's right.
We get the point.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right. Yeah. So, but again, it actually has a, it's kind of like leprosy. It's not just a terrible disease. It actually renders you unclean and unfit for human association, right? So, so this is a fairly strong statement that Paul makes here. You know, we actually saw a different way of making a wish, expressing a wish. Look back at 4:20. we had aethelon. I was wanting to be present toward you. But again, that's again something of an idiom, and is normally translated, I wish I could be present, right? And so you actually, it's interesting here in Galatians, you have something that you simply don't see this very often in the New Testament. Because it's, you know, stylistically it's kind of a lower level Greek. And some of these idioms you just don't see, which is why we have books to look these things up. So, okay, good. Anything on verse 12? Okay. Now that we're all squirming in our seats, let's move right on to verse 13. Right. So, Paul says, Humesgar ep eleutheria ekletheta adolfoi, manan me tain eleutherian eis aformain te sarte ala diates agapes du leuita aleilois. Interesting that this begins with a gar, which means that even though, you know, Nestle Aland has paragraphed it off in a fairly significant way, which I think is right. Most people agree that 5:13 begins a new section in Galatians, kind of the hortatory. Okay, now what do you do in the Christian life section, so to speak? But it actually begins with a gar, so it's connected to would that those who are troubling you cut themselves off. Why? Because you were called on the basis of freedom. That's why. See, so there is actually a connection to what has just preceded. Once again, an emphatic pronoun. But you, in contrast to them, right? In contrast to the ones who were troubling you. You were called, FP plus the dative, as you know, is very flexible. So here probably something like on the basis of freedom, brothers. And now he continues, manan, only. And of course what we want here before the Allah is a verb. We have a negative. We have may. And so we'll just supply what? Some form of what? Permission, or you could even use a form of ami. Well, it wouldn't be ami because eleutherion is accusative. So maybe something like, don't use the freedom unto or as an a formain, which is an excuse or a pretext, okay, as an excuse in relation to the flesh or for the flesh. Right? Don't do that, but Allah. And now here's the breathtaking move that Luther identifies actually as freedom of the Christian. Where having set the Galatians free, he promptly enslaves them again. So that the Christian is a free lord of all, you know, who owes nothing to anyone. And yet at the same time, the Christian is the servant of all, beholden to everyone. And this is, Paul actually does it here in one verse, right? And this is one of the key texts, I think, that Luther relied on. Rather, Allah, through love, now du leuete could be either an indicative or an imperative, but I think always taken here as an imperative. Go on being servants, go on slaving away, a leilois, the reciprocal pronoun, and du leuo takes a dative object. So, be slaves to one another. Right? And actually, the rest of the exhortation in Galatians, in a sense, is just a, I was going to say a fleshing out, sorry about that, is an explaining and an amplification of this verse. Right? And then and Paul just kind of makes different applications according to the need. So it really, grammatically, it's not so bad. I mean, we do have to supply a verb, a transitive verb, in the first part of the sentence. Only do not use or do not make your freedom into a pretext or an excuse for the flesh. Rather, through love. And it's a present imperative, so what do we want to say here? Is Paul speaking confidently? Go on serving one another? Go on being slaves to one another? Something like that, perhaps. And he'll explain that and then move on to talking about the fruit of the Spirit and so forth in the next paragraph. Questions? All right. Good. Greek club faithful attenders at the end of the term. Everybody looks a little tired. So it's good. He who endures to the end will be saved. Okay, verse 14. Hagar pas namas en hene lago pe pleirotai en to agapeses tan pleiseansu hos seautan. For the whole law in or by means of hene, this is our little friend Hes, mia hen, right? It's the dative, masculine singular dative, number one. In one lego, in one word, one utterance, pepleirotai. Now, isn't that a great form? You know, you were despairing just a second ago when we were doing all that hard morphology. Well, look at there. A duplication, right? You can even remember that it's pleirao, and so you lengthen the stem vowel to omega and no connecting vowel. Somebody parse it for me in victory. Go for it. Anybody? Perfect.
Perfect subjunctive.
Perfect. Indicative. Good, right. Indicative. Passive. Third person singular. Right. A partial victory, Tyler, but a victory nonetheless.
I got the obvious.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Well, that's right. I always start with the obvious stuff, right? Yeah. Has been and is fulfilled. Right? So the whole law. You guys want to talk about the law? Okay, we'll talk about the law. See, what is the law? What is the essence of what God commands us to do? In this one word, it has been and remains fulfilled. And now, notice this, in the, right? And what that to has done is taken the quotation from Leviticus and turned it into a noun. And so in English, we do something like, in this, comma, and then you give the quote. From agapao, the future indicative, you will love the neighbor, the near one of you, as yourself. Right? That's a good place to stop. It's a good reminder as well that both for Jesus and Paul, the greatest commandment is bigger than something like, go tell someone else about Jesus. Right? I mean, really, I kind of fear this somewhat. You know, the greatest thing you can ever do is not, well, it could be, depending on who the person is. But when asked about the great commandment, Jesus said, love God with your whole being and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, evangelism, obviously, is a wonderful way of loving someone. But you might just, like, change their attire for them. In any given context, that could be a way of fulfilling the Great Command. All right. Week 10 of the term. Everybody's looking good, feeling good, writing papers, parsing verbs, and rejoicing. All right. We will not meet for 2 weeks, right? Because Greek Club will take a break during the term break, and we will begin the first week of the term. Greek Club.
Can we keep with Galatians, though?
And we'll continue with Galatians, yeah. And I'm toying with starting up in Hebrews after that.
Oh, man.
So we'll see what that does to the attendance at Greek Club.
Yeah.